You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio from South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Maria McKinley.
And I'm Doug Storm. This is the Daily Local News for Monday, May 15th, 2017.
To keep people involved, I think, is our role right now. We do hope that we're always that place of civic engagement and community involvement.
Monroe County Public Library Director talks about the library's award-winning Power of Words program in today's WFHB Community Report.
Also coming up in the next half hour, we hear from a volunteer with the Monroe County Court appointed special advocates. That's on Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community. But first, these local headlines.
Newly filed court documents are shedding more light on Marsh Supermarket's financial troubles. The grocery retailer, which has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, has underfunded its employee pension plan by $76 million. The company pulled out of its last pension plan in 2012, but still faces legacy costs for retired employees. Private sector pensions are insured by the federal government through the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. That agency will likely be called upon to cover Marsh's pension shortfall. Marsh also owes $37 million to its various lenders, $11 million in property expenses, and $30 million to suppliers. The company is scheduled to be auctioned off on June 12 and is currently seeking bidders.
An Indiana official is questioning the Veteran Administration's plans to shutter 1,000 facilities and leave 4,000 jobs unfilled. The agency made the announcement last week. Indiana Senator Joe Donnelly issued a letter last Friday to the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, David Shulkin, asking him to explain the VA's goal in announcing the potential closures. Shulkin justified the closures last Wednesday in a hearing with the House Veterans Subcommittee. He told members the VA had identified more than 431 vacant buildings that, combined with 735, quote, underutilized, unquote, buildings, cost the federal government $25 million a year. It's unclear which locations across the country would be affected by the closings. In his letter, Donnelly asked Shulkin if any of the closures would be in Indiana. Nearly 550,000 veterans live within the state, and there are 27 VA health facilities in Indiana. Two are in Bloomington, two are in Terre Haute, and one is in Martinsville. Donnelly also asked Shulkin to clarify whether or not VA hiring restrictions on more than 4,000 positions will affect any open positions in Indiana. This news comes after the March release of the Trump administration's proposed budget for 2018. The VA is one of the few federal agencies whose budget could actually increase next year, requesting $78.9 billion in discretionary spending. It's an increase of $4.4 billion. The extra money is intended to increase veterans' access to health care. Nearly 11 million veterans are involved with or use VA programs. The funding also is intended to expand the Veterans Choice Program. This program allows veterans to seek private health care options. Without the funding, the program will expire in August. Shulkin has previously said the VA, which employs nearly 370,000 employees, needs to operate more efficiently. Although the president's budget proposal increases the VA's funding in 2018, Shulkin believes budget increases should not be proposed in the future.
Up next, reporter Kate O'Rourke brings us the story of a local family struggling to pay rent in a market dominated by college students. O'Rourke looked at how one organization is working to help the family make ends meet. The story was produced through a partnership between WFHB and a community journalism class at Indiana University, taught by Professor Mike Conway.
Kendra Jones works part-time at IU Health. The IU grad has lived in Bloomington for over 20 years. She and her fiancé are both employed. But like many families here, income and rent just don't line up.
I feel like we're just like throwing money away. And that was like why we really wanted to have our own house. Because it's like if we're going to pay this much money to rent somewhere, we should have our own house so that we're putting it to something that can be ours.
They turned to Habitat for Humanity to help pay a portion of their monthly rent. To qualify for Habitat's home buyer program, a household must be putting at least 40% of its income toward rent. But for Kendra?
I would say about 80%.
That still wasn't enough to get into the program. The couple had to improve their credit first, and they were accepted to the home buyer program last June. They're about to move on to the next phase. They'll pay on an interest-free mortgage to own their own home. The gap comes from high-end student housing, driving up rent. IU Habitat for Humanity Vice President Stuart Rivers says it's not students' fault, but they should do something to make it better.
We should try in some way to offset our impact, right? We recycle things, we drive fuel-efficient cars, we don't use plastic bags at the grocery store. You know, so how thinking of ways that we can offset our impact on the local community that's really just sort of, in a way, suffering partly because of our studying here.
Reporting for WFHB, this is Kate O'Rourke.
The Board of Directors of the Monroe County Solid Waste Management District has approved a final contract with Kessler Consulting to conduct a feasibility study for a mixed waste processing facility, also known as a MRF. The feasibility study is expected to take 8 months. During the May 11th meeting, the board discussed various institutions that produced waste, which could possibly be processed at the facility. Board Member Patrick Stauffers questioned the scope of the contract, which includes Indiana University, but not Ivy Tech.
I'm wondering, Ivy Tech's not in here, and there's like 7,000 students there. And I'm curious, seems like the debts would be smarter to include than, if I'm looking on page 3, Morgan, Brown, Lawrence, Green, and Owen counties. I don't understand that at all. Yet, an exclusion of Ivy Tech.
The district's executive director, Tom McGlasson Jr., said the scope of the study could be expanded at any time for a fee and explained the interest in surrounding counties.
There was interest by those involved in drafting the RFP of looking specifically at the city of Bloomington and Indiana University. Thus, those two are specifically mentioned in the RFP.
Well, I get that.
There was also interest in looking at the contiguous counties, you know, based on, you know, the previous research and data that was discovered, you know, over the past 7 or 8 years and looking at doing a MRF and, you know, concerns about, you know, sufficient volume to make the facility sustainable and that, you know, looking beyond just Monroe County to, and this is, you know, because of the type of facility that we're looking at doing it, you know, volume. If it's going to be sustainable, we have to have enough material to do that. So the thought of looking beyond Monroe County to where materials might be not necessarily guaranteed, but certainly, you know, available to feed into this facility, we thought was worthwhile in looking at.
The board approved the contract without changes on a vote of 5-1. Stauffers, who has opposed the MRF project in the past, abstained during the vote. This is the second time in 8 years the board has paid for a feasibility study to help determine whether to build a MRF. The organization paid more than $20,000 for a study in 2010. The board of directors has been divided about whether to move forward with this project, leading to many starts and stops over the years. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Maria McKinley.
And I'm Doug Storm. The American Library Association is awarding its Excellence in Library Programming Award to the Monroe County Public Library's Power of Words program. Reporter Sarah Vaughn spoke with Library Director Marilyn Wood about the Power of Words program for today's WFHB Community Report.
The focus of the Power of Words program is to host an author who is writing on important topics of today. As the library describes it, this biannual program specifically examines topics that, quote, speak to the average citizen's ability to positively change the world in which we live, unquote. The Power of Words is a collaboration between the library and the Friends of the Library, and its September 2016 program, featuring Congressman and civil rights activist John Lewis, is getting an award from the American Library Association for excellence in programming. The award is given to libraries that demonstrate excellence by creating a cultural program that engages the community and encourages active participation. Congressman Lewis, along with Andrew Aden and Bloomington artist Nate Powell, co-authored a three-part graphic novel about the civil rights movement titled March. All three were part of a Power of Words discussion attended by more than 1,600 people. I spoke with Library Director Marilyn Wood and the library's communication manager, Michael Herger, about the Power of Words program. Can you tell us a little bit about the program and how it specifically engages the community and encourages participation?
Certainly. So the Power of Words has been a program with the Friends of the Library for a number of years. And we do it as an action item. So it's read, discuss, meet, and act is the format for Power of Words. So the most recent one, for which we won the award with John Lewis, Andrew Aden, and Nate Powell, was really an opportunity to engage the public in a number of ways. Not only did we have them here to speak, which was a very exciting event, but we also had wisdom circles around the community. There were opportunities for students in the school system to be involved with reading the March graphic novels. We also engaged with IU with a couple of classes that were in lifelong learning, and we had the art museum involved as well. So there were, and there probably other things that I'm even forgetting, but there were opportunities for many book discussions and meet, discuss, and act.
And the program that you presented last September that with Congressman John Lewis and his co-authors for that graphic novel, March, how did you engage the public to then go from the presentation with Congressman Lewis to actually being engaged in their community and in their world?
I think part of it was just the posing the questions about, civil rights in particular. Obviously, that was... Congressman Lewis was very compelling in his presentation, just to talk with everyone about the importance of voting, about the importance of being involved in your community, of understanding what's going on in the world. So I think it was almost a challenge to those who were in attendance to do that, and the League of Women Voters were there to register people to vote, and the line was long afterwards. So I think that was a very direct act immediately following. And then other things, just a continued conversation in the community about civil rights, which the library, we have, I don't know that we have done a great job in terms of bringing people together on an ongoing basis about that, but we do hope that we're always that place of civic engagement and community involvement and just continued involvement with the League of Women Voters and other organizations such as that to keep people involved, I think, is our role right now.
So the award also requires that the program have a measurable impact. How do you measure a program like this, the impact of a program like this?
Often it's just through surveying. So we had people who attended each of those things fill out surveys or write later, and we asked them very specifically what they learned and how they expect to use it and if it's changed them in any way. And we had very positive results to that. We did have several hundred people who responded in very positive ways about how it had made them think or continue to act or do something differently. So often it's just an ask from the people who participated.
And the award carries a $5,000 prize. What plans do you have for that prize money?
We will be supporting the next Power of Words event so that we hope to continue to have those community engagement and lifelong learning opportunities. So we will be bringing Jamie Ford as our next author for a Power of Words event later this year.
Do we have a date that, or a month that we might be able to look toward?
November.
Michael, tell me why Jamie Ford, who's an author of Chinese descent, why he was chosen as the next Power of Words author.
Jamie Ford was way at the top of our list for a number of reasons. One reason, students at Bloomington High School South will be reading it next fall, so it'll be a wonderful way to continue our partnership that we have had with the schools, where we've been providing them with free library cards, and also had a really invested partnership with The Last Power of Words with John Lewis. And we also wanted to continue our partnership opportunities with IU and their the semester theme in the fall of 2017 is diversity, difference, and otherness, which are all topics that connect very heavily to Jamie Ford, especially his most popular book, Hotel on the Corner of Bitter and Sweet, which is a novel that touches upon the Japanese internment camps during World War II and sort of modern issues of being Chinese-American and of Asian descent in America.
And this is a biannual program. Do you just focus on one author each time you do the program?
Typically, that's what we do. We may be looking at a little bit longer program this year. It's in the planning stages right now. Really, as a more thematic approach to immigration issues.
So you said the program was still in the planning stages. Are there any tidbits you can give us about events that might be involved?
We'll be having book discussion groups again, and we hope to partner with the IU Art Museum again for a gallery talk. We will have an author visit program and other things like that, but I don't have specifics for you yet.
And where will we go on the library's website to find out more about the Power of Words program?
The Friends Library has a Power of Words site, or you can go directly to mcpl.info, and if you go to the Friends page, so it's mcpl.info/friends, you can find Power of Words listed there.
As long as we're talking, are there any other programs in the works that we can look forward to seeing, new programs from the library?
Oh, we always have new programs at the library. One of the fun things that we're working on right now is our new book bite, which just arrived last week, and we will be doing programming in the community soon from it. A summer reading program will be kicking off at the end of May, as school gets out, for all ages, in fact. We have it not just for children, but for all ages.
Reporting for WFHB, I'm Sarah Vaughn.
County Public Library Director Marilyn Wood speaking with reporter Sarah Vaughn about the library's Power of Words program. The library is being awarded the American Library Association's Excellence in Library Programming Award for the Power of Words program next month.
The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar-powered generation systems. That's encouraging independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Support also comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service, now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithville's home automation service is available at smithvillesecurity.com.
Now it's time for Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community.
Welcome to Activate, featuring tales of inspiration from local citizens who stand up for what they believe in and encouraging you to find your cause, live your passion, make a difference. Volunteer.
Hi, my name is Dave Wright. I volunteer with the Monroe County CASA. When I first learned about it, it was described as what the organization does for the kids that are subject to abuse and neglect and are in the court system, and became almost immediately clear to me that if somebody didn't step up and try to help them, then they were on their own in a system that is not friendly to children who have had certainly not the best experiences to begin with. So it sort of became the, if I don't do it, who will? And so I just got involved, and the more I got involved, and the more I was assured that, I made the right decision. And it's an inspiration for me to be able to, in some way, help those kids. When I initially got started with the CASA organization, I was a volunteer, an advocate. I really had to work that case, and it took a year and a half, 2 years, for a number of reasons, longer than normal, to come to some resolution and reunification, that sort of thing. So you have to get in the middle of it to kind of understand. You can hear all the stories about it, but you can't appreciate it until you get down and actually work with those situations. So that was a learning process. But what I decided to do after I retired from a full-time job was to try to continue helping this organization. We had helped establish it as an independent 501c3. We started without a whole lot of money, but we started and worked it with a whole bunch of people in a very, very good way, and a lot of attention and a lot of care that all those folks put into it to try to do it the right way. And we've been very successful, I think, in doing that. So what I thought I could contribute the most to at this stage of the organization was try to help the governance aspect. We tried to put in place and write what we needed, you know, prepare or create what we needed in order to make sure that the organization was as strong as it could be. So that takes a little bit of the pressure off of just staying in business to let us then and let some other people concentrate more on what are we doing for the kids. I come in here about 3 days a week. Kind of feel bad if I don't come in because I think it's something worthwhile. I think I can see that it does have value, and it is helping the advocate and then helps the organization to be able to provide that service. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Wright with the Monroe County CASA organization.
You may visit the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network website to see a full organization profile at bloomington.in.gov/volunteer. Now here's a rundown of current volunteer opportunities in Bloomington and Monroe County.
For the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake with three featured volunteer opportunities for the week. Calling all high school age students, it doesn't matter if you are entering high school as a freshman this fall or if you've just graduated. Wonder Lab would love to have you intern for one of their week-long Wonder Camp day camps. Earn a certificate and have a blast at Wonder Camp for 1 week or all summer long. At Banneker Camp, volunteers work one-on-one with students and help staff facilitate enrichment activities and field trips focused on art, science, and other fun subjects. If you have a passion and knowledge of a particular activity, you are encouraged to volunteer to organize your very own club at the Banneker Summer Camp. Or provide a temporary home for stray dogs and cats as a foster family for the Brown County Animal Shelter. Animals can stay for a few days to a few weeks, depending on their needs. And that's a look at just some of the ways you can connect to your community through volunteering. For WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake.
You've been listening to Activate, a co-production of WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, working together to build an empowered, vibrant, and engaged community. You may visit bloomington.in.gov/volunteer to find and sign up for local volunteer opportunities. All episodes of Activate are available online at wfhb.org/news/activate. For Bloomington Community Radio, I'm Jennifer Brooks.
This has been the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Jared Dill, Lindsay Jones, and Kate O'Rourke, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, our partnership with Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Sarah Vaughn.
Activate is produced by Jennifer Brooks, along with the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network. Our engineer is Mike Glab. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Joe Crawford. For WFHB, I'm Doug Storm.
And I'm Maria McKinley. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast, as well as all other WFHB news programs online at WFHB.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news@WFHB.org.
And if you use iTunes, you can have this show delivered directly to you. Just go to the iTunes store, search for WFHB Daily Local News, and subscribe to our podcast.
Stay tuned for Kiteline, a program amplifying the voices of those within Indiana's prison system. Coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.
Welcome to Kiteline, a weekly radio program from WFHB, the